Lord, we pray for your word. Thank you for your speaking at this conference. And we pray that you will continue to speak to us. Lord, we tell you we need your speaking. And we pray that you would help us hold fast to your word in these coming days, that you wouldn't make us simply to hearers of your words, but also doers of your word. Lord, strengthen us to perfect this priestly service, that your city, the holy New Jerusalem, would be perfected, that you would be able to end this age, and that you would be able to come quickly. Praise the Lord. I just want to confirm the word that was spoken. I'm so thankful for his speaking at this conference. That at this time, he gives us a burning for his coming anew. I was really impressed to see how many signs he has already given us. I think everyone who sees these signs and has a heart for his second coming would say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Would really have such a longing and desire that the Lord would come back soon. And I think we have to really treasure this because it's not something we can take for granted. And I'm so astonished even how the Lord has spoken to us in many conferences and then shortly after fulfilled his word. This shows that this is Zion. This is really the place where the Lord speaks. What really spoke to me was also these verses in Colossians 3 that we enjoyed anew. Let's read them together again. Colossians 3. Let's read verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in and in all. Amen. Christ is all and in all. And this really encouraged me to see, if this verse becomes our reality, and if he really is our all in all in the church life, then there are not many difficulties in the church life. There wouldn't be any. I think the Lord really lives in each one of us, but often we realize that this experience that Christ really is all in all in our daily life, this has to increase. And that's why I was so encouraged at the conference to see that our habit should be to walk with the Lord and walk through Him daily, that everything we do would come from Him. And in preparing, Marcos, on Friday evening, he shared about point Roman numeral 1 in the outline, building according to the heavenly vision, not according to man's fallen concepts. And he mentioned a few examples about the tabernacle, the temple of Solomon. And there's one verse that really spoke to me in preparing. Was in Exodus 25:31. Exodus 25:31. There it talks about the lampstand and how it was made. Exodus 25:31. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. And this spoke to me anew, as we saw in the conference. On the one hand, gold shows the divine nature of God, but it should also be made of hammered work. And this showed me that everything we do in the house of the Lord has to come from the Lord, has to proceed from the Lord. It has to be of hammered work. I can really testify in the last few years in the church life, the Lord showed me, first and foremost, it's about coming to me. And everything that you do in the house of God, it has to come from me. And then it will endure, it will last. And this lampstand was fully out of gold. It was fully permeated by the nature of God, or from the nature of God. And this has to be our experience in reality, as we just read. Christ is all and in all. Yeah, and this is how the lampstand should be. And it is really good to go before the Lord. And it showed me that first and foremost, my relationship to the Lord has to be in order. I have to ask the Lord how He wants to build His house. If I don't ask Him this, then how will He give me the vision? And as we also see in Moses, he had this relationship to the Lord, and the Lord was able to reveal everything to him and show him everything. And he did everything exactly according to how the Lord showed him. And I experienced the last few years how, before you do anything, come to me, ask me how you should do these things, and if you should even do it. And then, if the Lord shows it to you, then it will really come from Him. And then the experience will be that there will always be fruit. If the Lord speaks, and we are obedient to His speaking, then there will always be fruit, not just in us, but also for the building of His house, as we see also here in the golden lampstands. What also impressed me concerning the tabernacle is that it's mentioned that there were many brothers who were very gifted, and they were ready to give these capabilities or talents to the Lord and to make the objects for the tabernacle. But we should have this attitude. Everything that the Lord has given us should really serve for the building of your house. It's not for me. It's not for anything else, or not for a worldly goal. But everything has to be for you and serve you. And the talents He has given us, you know the parable in the New Testament. But my experience in the last few years, the Lord has shown me, it's one thing that the Lord has given us talents, but we have to use the talents for the Lord, and we can't do it in ourselves. But it's important to tell the Lord, I want to do everything through you. And this really spoke to me at this conference, not to remain in or be in the old man, but everything has to be done through the Spirit in the new man. And there are a few things that maybe I'd like to do well, or I like to do out of myself, or I can do well. The Lord also said, do it. It's not, don't do it, just leave it. It's not your assignment, so to say. But here you should serve me. But even in this, it should happen in the new man. There was a practical service that the Lord put on my heart. It's the translation. Maybe you have a natural talent for it. But I realize if I don't do this through the Lord, then it's really useless. It has to happen in the Spirit. And then there's also fruit. And then there's building. And what also spoke to me was, in the sharing, is that everything has to be done through the life of the Lord. We can also read another verse in Revelation 21, verse 15. There it talks about the golden reed, 21:15. Revelation 21:15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. Amen. I think this was also impressive to see here that in the city, everything that we do in it, And everything what we bring for the building has to come from the life of the Lord. Otherwise it won't endure and it won't be useful if it doesn't come out of the life of the Lord. And here we see again that this is a gold reed. And this shows us, it shows the nature of God that we need for the building of his house. And that it's a gold reed shows that it has to be living. And this really showed me I have to pay attention to the life of the Lord. And as we already said, not only when we are in the meetings, but actually it begins at home in my daily life. There is where I have to take heed to what I let in. I have to have a sense for life, for the life of the Lord, that the Lord's life is there and can work in my life. Because this is what we will end up bringing into the house of the Lord. So this showed me again, this measure is Christ himself. Christ himself is the measure. And everything that I do in the house of the Lord has to be Christ. Otherwise, it'll be the wrong measure. And what happens if it doesn't come forth from the life of the Lord? If I'm often in my soul and do my own things, then at the end I also have my own concepts concerning the building of his house. And sooner or later, I will bring it into the house of the Lord. So may the Lord preserve us and give us a sense for his life, that everything would come from the right source. I'm also very thankful to the Lord for many practical examples and pictures that he has given us in the last few days. And exactly while we were having fellowship about the New Jerusalem, there's so many wonderful practical examples for the house of the Lord. Things that we have to pay attention to, the holiness. What do I bring into his house and what not? And that the Lord has given us this meeting hall. It's not about the building, but it's such an opportunity to exercise. What do I bring into his house and what not? What do I do here and what shouldn't I? Or what can I do in his house and what shouldn't I do in his house? And the Lord recently has admonished me. Good ideas that I had, the Lord said, this has no room in my house. It's not holy. It doesn't belong here. And this is really important that the Lord gives us a sense for this, that there would be this wall in this city. And I'm thankful for the verse that was mentioned in Hebrews 10 yesterday, because this verse also has put this verse on my heart in the last few days. In verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I thank the Lord, not just for his exhortation, but it was also an encouragement. And my experience the last few years, where the Lord often told me, often where it was difficult, the Lord said, go to the meeting. Why? Because in the meeting, that's where the Lord speaks from his throne. And I also was very thankful for what the Lord showed us in the last conferences. This throne is in the middle of the city. Also concerning the peace offering, where we saw anew, how can I be reconciled with the Lord? It's by coming forward to the throne, because there I can be reconciled and there's peace from the Lord. And from his throne, that's where he speaks to us. That's why it's so important that in my personal life I come to this throne and that the Lord can speak to me from the throne, but that I also come to the meeting where the Lord can speak to us from the throne. Otherwise, when I miss this speaking, at some point, then I have my own ideas. And this has really preserved me in the last years. Also, this word that the Lord reminded me of, concerning the people in the wilderness, they were rebellious, and also the rebellion of Korah. And this word often saved me. These things are all in our flesh, and we always notice how these things want to come up with us. But it is good to stay at the throne, to stay where the Lord's speaking is, because then we can also deal with all the things that are in us. And also concerning the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, let us keep it richly and really, yeah, be in this river of water of life that comes from the throne. We're done soon. Just 5 more minutes. I just wanted to say a word that the Lord reminded me of yesterday. And Johannes reminded of this yesterday, and it was good. At the end of August, the Jews, for the first time since 2,000 years, put a shofar horn, blew it on the Temple Mount. Not anywhere in Israel, but on the Temple Mount. This is what the Temple Institute had announced. This is also a sign of the times. And they also wrote this in their announcement. They cited Isaiah 27:13. It also fits for us. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. Trumpet, or yeah. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt. And what do they do? Verse 13. And shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Isaiah 27:13. This is what the Jews are doing, and this is what we are doing. Isn't this wonderful or astonishing, amazing? It's exactly the same thing. The Lord is gathering the Jews from everywhere, Assyria, Egypt, actually from the whole world, but not to just do anything, but yeah, to do their own business in Israel. There's a lot of business in Israel, but that's not why they're going there. But it's to worship the Lord. Amen. In the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. And if we see this, then we have to understand that a conference like the one we have now is like this trumpet. It's a blowing of the Lord. It's a warning of the Lord. It's speaking of the Lord coming from Zion, from his holy mountain, to gather the outcasts, not to do a Christian work, but to worship the Lord. Amen. But to carry out the priestly service in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Amen. Are you not thankful to the Lord that the Lord has gathered you from the south, from the north, from Assyria, which is in the north, and Egypt is in the south? From everywhere we have come. To do what? Isa even came from Assyria to do what? To worship the Lord in the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. Has not the Lord fulfilled this word in us? But sometimes the gathering of the Lord is not so easy. If I were to ask you how the Lord gathers, what would you have said? How were they able to come out of Assyria and Egypt? What was the way of the Lord? How did the Lord do it? What do you think? Through lots of suffering? Persecution? George? Through the trumpet? We don't have to guess, because it says in verse 12 before, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh. That the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river. This is from Assyria, to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. That means one by one, one after the other. But it happens through threshing. Do you know what threshing is? The word that's used here is a word that the prophet used to describe what you do with olive trees when they're ripe or where they're ready to be harvested. Then you would hit the tree. It means to hit upon, yeah. And then the olives fall down from the tree that you can harvest. Isn't this astonishing? Sometimes you think, oh, the enemy has destroyed so many things and it's so difficult, and you hang your head. But who initiated this threshing? The enemy? What does the word say? The Lord will thresh. And you think, oh, the enemy has done so many things here and there. Okay. And we bind him and we also stand upon his head. But the true person who's doing this is the Lord, because he's the one who wants to gather the harvest. And the ones who come home to him are those who worship the Lord in the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. So we have to thank the Lord when he initiates this threshing. Or even though it's not so comfortable when someone comes with a threshing rod. In Zurich, are you also being threshed? And who began this threshing or initiated it? You? Everywhere the Lord is initiating this threshing or doing this threshing, because he wants to gather for the worship of the Father. He's not gathering for anything or for anywhere, but he's gathering so that we can worship him in the Holy Mount at Jerusalem, in Zion. This threshing comes from the Lord so that there would be a harvest, so that there he would receive a priesthood who would worship him in the Holy Mount. This is also a sign of the times. Praise the Lord.